from the Three Story Method Podcast Network.
This is the Serial Fiction Show.
I'm Christine Daigle.
And I'm JP Reinbush.
Welcome to the Reader's Serial Fiction Show. Today, we've got a sexy fantasy western by Lucia Ashta called Six Shooter and a Shifter. From an Amazon Top 20 best-selling author comes a sexy fantasy western with growly shifters, sketchy vamps, peculiar mages and creatures, and one badass cowgirl sheriff. Within the small town, magic and gossip flow as freely as whiskey, and work and pleasure are nearly the same thing. Weird things happen on the regular in Trader's Den. Come and join the quirky family where everyone's packing. Oh, and don't mind the tiger.
Lucia Ashta is the internationally top 20 best-selling author of young adult, new adult, adult paranormal, urban fantasy, and contemporary romance books, including the series Witches of Gale Haven, Magical Creatures Academy, Sir Angel, Magical Arts Academy, Witching World, and Supernatural Bounty Hunter. When Lucia isn't writing, she's reading, painting, or adventuring. Magical fantasy is her favorite, but the action, romance, and quirky characters are what keep her hooked on books. And now, a sample of Six Shooter and a Shifter, Episode 1.
Without waiting for me to catch up, Tiger ducked under the swinging doors of the saloon, whined when his fur caught, then settled on the floor next to my usual table in the back. I scowled at him over the doors while removing the tuft of orange fur, pocketing the puffy strands so Charmaine wouldn't holler at me for dirtying her floor. I pushed through and crossed the room to pull out the chair next to Tiger's sizable bulk. "Howdy there, Loretta," Charmaine called, already sashaying in my direction. "Saw Tiger come in, knew you'd be right behind the good-for-nothing. Isn't that right, boy?" Charmaine was voluptuous, bordering on voluminous, but her ample curves were in all the right places, straining the integrity of her patterned dress. She crouched next to Tiger, scratching behind his ears while she slid a bowl of water in front of him. He began to lap it up, making both too much noise and too much mess, splashing water onto the floor's worn wooden planks. "Now that's a good boy," Charmaine cooed, even though Tiger hadn't done anything particularly good. "If I were the one to slop water all over her floor, I'd be hearing about it from now till next Sunday." "You do remember he's not a boy, but a shifter man trapped in his tiger form, right?" I asked, though this certainly wasn't news. "Such a good boy," she went on, giving him a full head rub all while ignoring me. I'd take offense if not for the fact that Charmaine liked animals more than she liked most people. "Just making sure," I muttered, pushing out the chair next to me and kicking up my dusty boots, which put them at eye level for Charmaine. She squinted at my shoes and started to rise to her full height, which wouldn't have been particularly impressive if not for the fact I was sitting and now peering up at her. "Loretta Maybelle Ray," I sighed loudly and obnoxiously. Nothing good ever followed the use of my full name. "I know you don't go putting your feet up on your mama's furniture when you're in her house. Colette would tan your hide." While a blatant exaggeration, since my mama did as much doting as she did scolding, Charmaine did have a point. Another sigh. "Stop busting my balls, Char. It's been a long day, and I just want to kick back with one of your amazing drinks. You know how much I love them." Charmaine tisked at me, but I could tell my compliment had done its job. She pulled a rag from her dainty apron and wiped down the already clean table. "If I was to be busting your lady balls, Loretta, you'd know it. Trust me on that." I definitely did. Charmaine's talent for ball busting was well known all across town, which, given the size of the place, wasn't saying all that much. Even so, the small town was all I'd ever known. All I'd ever know unless Uncle Tucker decided to show up to let us all out already. Charmaine straightened. "The usual, honey. See? Compliments always pay off." Yes, ma'am. Thank you kindly. Giving me an approving nod, Charmaine bustled back to her bar. You don't help things by being so friendly, I mumbled to Tiger, who continued to lap up water in the most obnoxious way possible. I registered what I said and chuckled to find myself talking to my constant animal companion, yet again, drawn looks from the handful of other patrons in Charmaine's den. The sun was still up, so the establishment was mostly empty. It'd be hopping in a few hours. I felt Charmaine returning before I saw her crossing the room back toward me. The heat of her stare on my boots reached through the beat-up leather to tingle the skin of my feet. Rolling my eyes in a way she wouldn't see, I plastered a smile on my face and swung my legs down off the chair a moment before she slid a moon mixer across the smooth table at me. I caught it, holding the mug of swirling milky white liquid in both hands, enjoying the cold of it against my palms. Mm-mm. This time I wasn't even trying to blow smoke up her skirt. I've been dreaming of having one of these since Leroy and Ollie walked into my office. Charmaine frowned and shook her head, her chignon holding strong. Not a single strand of her brown hair tumbled loose. It wouldn't dare. Those men only got one oar in the water between the two of them. What were they going on about this time? Oh, apparently Leroy's rooster keeps escaping his pen to harass Ollie's hens. Ollie's complaining that the cock's causing fights among the ladies since they all want to have at him first. I snickered at the memory of having to keep a straight face while the neighbors yelled at each other, saying cock this and cock that. And the fools can't figure that one out on their own without involving the sheriff? Don't they realize you got better things to do? Again, Charmaine shook her head. They could throw themselves at the ground and still miss. Tell me about it. I held up a finger and thumb, almost touching. I'm this close to ordering them to move away from each other. That's why I've been sorely needing one of these. I lifted my moon mixer in front of my face. Charmaine patted the table. Sounds like you earned it good and well. Enjoy, honey, and let me know when you're ready for another. Smiling my thanks, I pulled in my first sip slowly, savoring the sweetly tart taste. I'd never bothered to ask exactly what was in it. Charmaine liked to keep her secrets, and I liked to keep on good terms with her. She ran the only reputable saloon in town and wielded her power to ban any patrons like a lethal weapon. No one wanted to be forbidden from hanging out in the most popular joint around. The moon mixer tasted like candy, got me tipsy, or drunk when I overindulged, and was mesmerizing to watch. Smoky tendrils of white that mimicked moonlight swam around the glass until the last drop was drained. A witch with low-grade powers, Charmaine went for show, adding a small spell to her entire list of drinks. Her liquid offerings were so spectacular that no one ever complained about how poor the food was. With Charmaine busying herself once more behind the bar, I surreptitiously kicked my legs back up, slumped in my chair, and nursed my drink. I was usually on duty until sundown, but as sheriff, I was giving myself the authority to call it a day. The mayor was unlikely to notice, since he spent most of his workday bent over a golf club or a woman who wasn't his wife. Besides, anyone would need a stiff drink after dealing with Leroy and Ollie for the full hour I had. They'd been coming to see me with equally frivolous complaints nearly twice a month. Something had to give.
So, JP, let's talk about pro writing aid. And as they say on their website, it is the secret to polished and professional writing. As writers, we make the same mistakes. You use pro writing aid, you can get clear, easy steps to improve your writing so you can share your ideas with confidence. Whether you're doing creative writing, business writing, academic writing, just composing an email and you want to sound smart, pro writing aid will help you. And
100%.
There's something new. What is it, JP?
So Atticus, which is a wonderful program that includes book formatting, and it is developing aspects for writers so that it can basically be a one-stop shop for writers, has an integration with ProWriting Aid now. So we've mentioned before that ProWriting Aid has a lot of integrations with, you know, Google Docs and Microsoft Word, and now Atticus, which just makes makes that tool Atticus really shiny and nice for authors that are looking for a one-stop place. But it's just the fact that ProWriting Aid can integrate with so many programs so that you're able to use this sort of last line defense before handing it off to someone. It just makes it so much easier. I love using ProWriting Aid because then I don't have people that are editing it looking for simple mistakes that I can find using ProWriting Aid that I can learn from. And instead, they're looking at the deeper content and they're able to notate that. So I just find ProWriting Aid so nice. So I love it when I hear a new integration has happened.
Absolutely. Check out ProWriting Aid. It will help you be a better writer. ProWritingAid.com. Use our discount code Serial20. So JP, let's talk about LaterPress. So LaterPress is a platform built to help authors declare their independence. It lets authors create digital books and sell them directly to their readers through their own branded website. And there are new things coming to the platform every day in terms of discoverability and new features. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I put Nerds on LaterPress, and it was a really easy and really fast process, which was pretty cool. And one of the cool things was you can put a collection, and then you can put your we put Nerds in the collection so that ideally if we do any spin-offs or if we do any like season two or like specifying those pieces, you can put those books in the collection, which is really nice. And it's a really nice way of like hierarchical pieces to it, which is really cool.
And
it basically gives you your own website. Ours is nrds.laterpress.com. And you just direct your readers straight there and they see Nerds. It doesn't get blocked by anything else. There are no ads in the way. There are nothing. It's just straight up Nerds content for your readers to get straight to reading, which is different than some other platforms, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And I did the same thing, although I uploaded all of my books to a collection just so I had one place, you know, to direct readers. And so I have Molecule Thief, Dark is Away, and the Steampunk Emerald Key is up there. So it's one link. People can see all your books and you can order them whatever way you want, or your serials. You can put serials up as well. And and you can do it on a subscription model or pay per book. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, which was a really cool.
Yeah,
the pricing thing was pretty cool. Figuring out either doing per book or some type of a subscription model just to kind of give your readers different abilities to support you, because some people really like the, you know, it's basically like a Patreon, but you just get content to read.
Yep. And the cut is just 5%.
Yeah. So test it out. Try it out.
Yep. Laterpress.com.
See you later, Press.
So a tiger and a sheriff walk into a saloon and a bar witch gives them a drink. That sounds like the perfect opening. And I am curious, what inspired you to write this serial?
So I have written quite a few books at this point in my career. And I have, you know, self-censoring to fit within the parameters of the genre that I'm writing in, after a while, feels like what it actually is, self-censoring. And so with this serial, I decided this was my challenge to myself. What would happen if I just don't hold back and let my weird, kooky, wild, zany side out? And hence, Six Shooter and a Shifter, and what happens in this town, which is outrageously wild. And so that is really for me deciding to let myself go free and flex my creative muscle and just not think about as much the reader experience as enriching this world and what it would feel like to be a person living in Trader's Den.
Awesome. And I'm a big fan of pocket universes that are a one-way trip.
it's been interesting, let me tell you.
So I'd like to know more about your characters. Which character are you most excited for readers to read about and why?
You know, the way I write is very character-driven. So I just fall in love with so many of my characters. But I have to say, one of my favorite parts about writing in the genres that I write are all the little weird, kooky, ornery characters. So I have, for example, in Trader's Den, I have little fairies with a taste for vengeance. I have, you know, pygmy trolls with need of an attitude adjustment, and Kiki, who is a magical koala whose job that's been assigned to her in Trader's Den is really to cuddle and make people happy. And she's like this glorious magical being. So I guess I could pick from so many, but Kiki is wonderful and very unlike any of my other characters because she's very docile and placid, and they're all so fun. And of course, you know, my main character, I love it because she gets to have all the fun I would like to have.
So you say in your author notes that you love creating magical worlds and the more outrageous, the better. Now, we've just heard a bunch of different little species that just sound crazy to me, but I'm curious, what's one outrageous thing about this world that you're willing to share?
One thing that I didn't anticipate was this world. And so I write most of my stories and my books interconnect. So I have this wider universe and so many of my books overlap. And sometimes they'll have actual characters by name that I've created in other worlds and they'll reappear, which my readers love. And other times, like with Trader's Den, which is the world of Six Shooter and a Shifter, it will be a type of creature. So, for example, you know, I mentioned the pygmy trolls, the fairies. So one of the things I didn't anticipate, the way I write is the world kind of reveals itself to me as I go. And so I didn't anticipate in this one-way portal situation where they're in this Western world that's not really a Wild West. It's more like Wild West meets theme park. And so the cowboyisms that are cowgirlisms, cowpeopleisms, I don't know how I'd say it, but the wacky things they say just seems to bring so much more richness to all the characters that it's just like, I take, because I really enjoy, as I mentioned, writing really unusual characters, some very likable, others are the kind that I like to say they grow on you like fungus. And so this has just taken this part of this curse that makes them all by force speak in this Wild West way, in this very exaggerated way, has made all the characters just seem so outrageous and so wild that I'm just having a blast with it. It's some of the things they say are just so absurd.
Yeah, it was very fun to read. And I just love, you know, that their names change and the cursing is so on brand with Western. It was very funny. So fantasy Westerns is really a fun and exciting mashup. What sort of tropes do you like to take from either genre and turn on their head?
I think I've turned on their head very many of them. So I've had so many reviewers too talk about it that they go in expecting a traditional fantasy Western and they come out and they're like, wait, oh, what did I just read? I love it, but I don't know what it is. And so this is really a mesh of fantasy Western where you have, you know, the traditional Wild West, you know, dueling at noon, kind of scene, you know, the dusty tumbleweeds floating around and stuff, and the very kind of gritty lifestyle, but mixed with this paranormal fantasy world where you have all the magical creatures, but then you also add in they're all just behaving in these insane ways. And yet there's still this camaraderie between them and this sense of they're, you know, they might shoot at each other one day, but truly they have each other's backs and they're all friends and family. So I don't really know. I've been at a loss to describe the genre mashup of this, you know. So, and to boot, it's a reverse harem, which was not intended at all. So it's like fantasy Western, paranormal romance, reverse harem, and throw in, you know, comedy. So,
I love it. I would love to hear some more about this unusual cockatoo story that you wrote when you were 8. Also just... in general, how has your writing grown and changed since then?
I've gone through a very interesting roundabout way to becoming a full-time writer. I don't know if you read my bio, you probably know. First, I became an architect, and then I had a little pause writing and illustrating children's books, and then I became an attorney, and then so it's been very roundabout. My entire life, my first love has always been books and art. I love reading. I love writing. So the cockatoo story was very, let's say, I have learned as I've written to become more comfortable with my voice and not feel like I have to fit into the usual parameters of what is expected in storytelling, which I'm sure is what I did in the Cockatoo story and in many others before. So my writing has evolved from, let's say, more descriptive, more perhaps even flowery. And as I've written books and, you know, the words have accumulated, I've learned to fine tune it and really, let's say, flex my voice so that what you really notice is not my narration as much anymore, but it's the inner dialogue plus the dialogue. And so I think really what I'm trying to say here is that as an author, I've just learned to move back from center stage, from the beginning to my transition at this point in my evolution as a writer.
Nice. So you also said in your bio that you wanted to show your three daughters that anything was possible. How did that decision factor into becoming a full-time author, and how has that changed your perspective on life?
You know, I was raised with, for better or for worse, my parents really expressed to me the need to pursue a profession that would allow you to support yourself financially, give you a firm, consistent livelihood. And in my mind, that was never art, even though I have always been an artist, whether it's words or image, whatever it was. And so I finally got to a point in my life where I realized I was not satisfied with the world, the life I was leading. It wasn't honoring my true self. I have quite a wild little kooky side of my own. And so it felt really important as I saw my daughters start growing up, and, you know, they're so magical, and just, I didn't want them to feel any sense of limitation. I don't want them to think about what will make them money. Because I truly believe that if we follow our hearts and our passions, there's a place for everything in this world. So I finally decided, well, if I'm going to be teaching them this, I should put my money where my mouth is and do it myself. And so even though I went through a lot of stages of self-doubt and lacking in faith and questioning, oh my God, am I totally insane? Because I dumped a law degree and an architecture career, everything to pursue my passion. But if this life isn't about passion, what is it about? You know, if we're not going to follow our hearts. So that they were the real impetus to make me finally push myself over my fear and make that choice and commit to full-time writing, even though I probably, if I'd been a little more patient, should have waited to develop into that stage in my career, but I had like jumping in with both feet.
I love that. And I mean, it works for you. So, hey.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
So flipping that coin on inspirations and talking more about like for the serial, what were some of your favorite movies or books that you drew inspiration from for the serial?
For this one in particular, you know, there are some stories of mine that I can specifically tell you. I watched or read, you know, watched this series and it gave me a little piece. And I read this book and the series and it gave me another little piece. For Six Shooter and a Shifter, I don't think there is any of that. It's more a culmination of all these experiences. You know, as you can imagine, I'm a super avid reader. I adore books. And I love also seeing creative worlds expressed on screen. You know, the wilder, you can probably guess the theme of this, the wilder, the more outrageous, the more creative, the better. So with Six Shooter and a Shifter, it was really just a coming together of all those elements over years of inspiration from other creatives.
So I'm curious, with the serial fiction, you know, kind of one of the hopes is that you'll get audience participation. Have you had any of that, or what has that looked like for you with this serial?
This serial has been very interesting in that I just assumed that my established reader base would happily jump over. That was one of the reasons I was so excited for Kindle Vella, because I thought, you know, the writer life is a bit solitary, or it can be. And I usually write 3-4 series at once. And I'm just so enmeshed in these other worlds. And I thought, how amazing to be able to experience it at the same time as my reader so that they can be going along the journey with me. It has been an unexpected, slow going in convincing my readers to come over to Kindle Vella. I'm not giving up on them. I have, of course, some who have. And what I've found that now that I've started releasing Six Shooter Shifter, the earlier seasons into actual books, and that a lot of my audience is so excited by the story that more of them are hopping over. But interestingly, I have found that most of my audience on Kindle Vella is new, which is not at all what I thought was going to happen.
That's cool, though. And it's a good way of kind of bringing in a new audience to see your work. So that's excellent. Is there anything you haven't explored yet, either with this serial or maybe a different series altogether, that you're dreaming up?
Oh, boy. You know, it's so funny because every time I write a series or a story or a serial, I think, wow, like I just will not be able to top this level of outrageousness. And I feel like I keep pushing the boundaries of what at least my comfort level is, just thinking, oh, I don't know how my readers are going to respond to this, how maybe I shouldn't push quite so far. And, you know, I'll reach the limit of my comfort zone and push a little. And I find that it's so spectacular. My readers it seems that every time I say, oh boy, this might be a little too much, I might have gone too far, those turn out to be the favorite scenes or aspects for my readers. It's just, I mean, they're amazing. They're lovely. So I'm always dreaming up new things. And in fact, I'm about to start writing season 5 of Six Shooter and a Shifter. And I have dreamed up this crazy thing that it's actually the reason I decided to extend Six Shooter and a Shifter, because like, I don't know when I'm going to ever have the opportunity to write this crazy scenario, and Traitor's Den is perfect for it. And when else will this happen? Of course, who knows? It might have happened anyway. Yeah. So I have some wild stuff concocted for the rest of this series. I can't really tell you too much because it's very spoilery, but it involves dragons and my wild westers are going into a rodeo, and let's just leave it at that.
Dragon rodeo. I love it. Excellent. So as a final question, what do you like most about writing serial fiction?
So the way I write works very well for serial fiction. And that has been, I think, one of the things I enjoy the most is the immediacy of writing and being able to put it out. Even though I think Kindlevella is a new platform and we're getting more and more reader interaction as that grows, and I'm sure in time comment sections will come along and all that, I am finding it very satisfying to write and very shortly after put the episode out. It works very well for my way of writing because I write quickly and a lot. Well, at least I know there are others who write more than me, but for me, it feels like a lot. And I very rarely have to come back and change anything plot related. So when I write, it's everything that comes after that and edit is usually minor detailing and stuff like that. So it works very well because I don't have to do any rearranging of the plot or major issues. So serial fiction is like a dream with that. And I can have an impatient personality. So I'm like, I'm so excited by my world. I just want everybody to share in it with me. So it's so satisfying to write, be in love with these characters, be so enmeshed in this world and be able to put it out and get my readers interacting with that immediately.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down and talking with us.
Thank you for having me. It's been very fun.
Our thanks today to Lucia Ashta for letting us share their episode. If you liked it, you can read it on Kindlevella. The link is in the show notes.
And that's a wrap.